Good morning for Tuesday, November 24th, 2009. This is Brian Madden. Before we get started with today's article, I just want to mention that your ad could be here. So if you're interested in underwriting our daily podcast with a quick 10-second commercial, then just let us know. So the topic at hand for today is, it's a fun one. It's a technical explanation of why this whole layering or shared image thing is so difficult. So yesterday's main article on BrianMadden.com was about the disk images that are used for today's VDI deployments. We specifically looked at whether the technologies that allow many users to share a single image are actually ready for hardcore users now, or whether today's large VDI deployments are limited to using personal images. This is where each user has his or her own image that's saved from session to session. The main point I was making in the article, which actually jives with what most of the commenters wrote, was that VDI was in fact not ready for large populations of disparate users to share the single master image. At least I should say today's VDI technology is not ready for this image sharing. But why not? From a technical standpoint, why is VDI not ready? This is actually what we're going to look at today. So first, some quick background information. If you're not familiar with the whole sort of challenges of the shared images versus personal images, and I guess I should say the whole technical challenges or the technical differences, let's say, then this article might be a little bit sort of advanced. So what I recommend is two articles that you read first, which I recognize this doesn't help you so much if you're listening to the podcast, but if you check out this article on BrianMadden.com, you can find the links to the relevant articles. First of all, this past February, I wrote an article specifically about Atlantis Computing's Ilio product. And in that article, there's actually an entire section called Background Info on the VDI Shared Master Disk Image concept. And really, I highly recommend that you read that article and specifically that section. Of course, also, if you haven't yet, read yesterday's article, which was, is today's VDI really only about non-shared personal images? So if, assuming you've read those two articles and you understand the whole shared versus, personal disk image, let's kind of move on to the topic at hand today. So the topic at hand today assumes that we've solved the whole, disk image block versus file problems. Again, if that doesn't make sense to you, read those first two articles. So if we have the ability to intelligently share master images across multiple users, we fixed the whole disk image block and file problems. What's the problem right now? Well, the challenge is from a logistical standpoint, there's still kind of a problem. So, I mean, for example, Atlantis shows you a really amazing demo where they build a master Windows XP image based on Service Pack 2, which they then deploy to users. So then in this demo, they show a user installing iTunes, which of course persists between reboots because that user is getting their own sort of, instance, of that master image. And so far this is no problem, but where Atlantis can solve it, which is cool, is now the administrator can go back to that master image, update, for example, the master from XP Service Pack 2 to Service Pack 3. Then they can go back to the user image where the user reboots, and hey, look at that. The user has XP Service Pack 3, but iTunes is still installed. And, I mean, that is an amazing, amazing, amazing demo. And really, when people first see this, they think, oh my gosh, this is completely solved. They've done it. They've solved all the problems. And as a matter of fact, when I wrote the article last year, I literally wrote, wow, wow, wow. Yes, this is what we need. Wow, wow, must breathe. Wow. So, wow. Let's say I was impressed. Except there's a problem here. In the XP Service Pack 2 to Service Pack 3 with iTunes example, we're kind of lucky that that same install of iTunes is actually compatible with both XP Service Pack 2 and Service Pack 3. So this is what allows, iTunes to still work even though we sort of updated the underlying copy of Windows. But what if iTunes hadn't been? What if XP Service Pack 3 changed some file that would break iTunes? I mean, even Atlantis's file level and block level intelligence would be worthless there. I mean, yeah, sure, it's great that Atlantis knows which files and which blocks were changed, but it doesn't have the smarts to deal with an application, you know, with every potential application that could be in one of these user layers there. And so at some point you have to make decisions, like say if there's a conflict, user wins, administrator wins. If you make the user win, then that means your changes to the master don't get applied. And if you make the administrator win, then that means the user loses some of their personalizations. So, you know, this Atlantis thing, it's a great demo. And by the way, I mean, this is not to knock Atlantis, right? Because there's a lot of other reasons people use Atlantis, like for the, you know, massive IOPS increases, more users per disk than any other VDI solution, et cetera. But my point is that in the context of figuring out application complexities and multi-layer, you know, window building, Atlantis is not the be-all, end-all solution that kind of solves everything we need. So, now, at this point, typically, this is where the traditional application virtualization vendors come in. And, you know, most people think, okay, well, no problem. You know, if we can just isolate or virtualize each application, then we, I mean, in essence, separate them from the underlying OS, which is, I mean, exactly what app virtualization promise is. But only if it were so simple. I mean, seriously, if it were so simple, we'd be doing that with everything today. But everyone knows, I mean, there's issues with app virtualization in certain applications, and no one app virtualization solution can handle everything. The reason is actually due to this sort of weird irony we have, and that's that, you know, app virtualization products, they increase their compatibility with applications by kind of staying out of the way of what the applications are trying to do. So, you know, this helps, you know, broaden what applications they work with because they basically don't break them. But the more sort of out of the way these application virtualization products stay, the less breaking they do to applications. It also hurts the chances that, maybe increases the chances that multiple conflicting applications will, you know, maybe not work side by side. So what I'm saying is if an application virtualization product truly stays out of the way, then it's kind of not isolating anything and you're having conflicts with applications, you know, side by side that might not run together. So, in other words, there's this sliding scale in the world of app virtualization between, compatibility and isolation. More compatibility, you get that via less isolation, but if you increase your isolation, then you lose compatibility of applications. And, I mean, this is something that we in IT are not unfamiliar with. Like, this is like the age-old, you know, security versus convenience balance slider. So, you know, this also, I mean, this is not a problem specifically related to app virtualization, I guess. I mean, there's some more sort of non-traditional application virtualization vendors out there like RingCube. You know, RingCube, for those who aren't aware, this is a company that makes sort of a type 2 VM. I sort of think of them like, Virtuoso kind of for desktop. So RingCube, you have like a 40 meg install, or I shouldn't say install, you have a 40 meg file and you pop that, you know, USB key or whatever into your desktop and boom, you're running a new VM, but it's actually leveraging all of the Windows files that are already on your computer and the fact that these things are already running. It kind of like spawns another instance of Windows from the copy of Windows that's already running. So, you know, RingCube's whole business is built around, you know, deploying type 2 VMs and very tiny packages and everything. I kind of view RingCube, honestly, having more potential in the world of app virtualization because they are sort of like the ultimate of app virtualization in that every single application would kind of run in its own VM, but there's not a lot of memory overhead and disk overhead because of the way they work, which, by the way, this is a future thing. Right now, RingCube, even you can only run one copy of it at a time. So this is my sort of long-term direction for RingCube. But again, they have this whole compatibility versus isolation conundrum because if you use RingCube as the ultimate isolation engine, then, you know, you don't get like all this application interaction with each other and maybe you have problems with profiles and all this other kind of stuff. So, you know, regardless of how you attack this problem, there's always sort of going to be a balance between isolation and compatibility. So what's the solution to this? I mean, you know, if these conflicting updates at different layers is the problem, I mean, really, what's the solution? And by the way, I have bad news. I'm not, doing this whole article sort of in building the suspense to the great solution. I'm sort of doing this whole article building the suspense to, I have no idea. Frankly, I'm starting to worry now that since Windows was never, ever designed to be sort of dynamically assembled this way, I wonder if we're ever actually going to solve the problem. I mean, think of how many complexities and dependencies and incompatibilities and lines and arrows and layers. Windows is just so complex, and I don't know if we are ever going to see an answer to this layering on demand thing in a time until we're all running, Chromium, the sort of web OS, all applications sort of running in the cloud. So, about this solution, I do want to be optimistic about this. We still don't know. There's a startup company called Unidesk we talked about a few weeks ago where Ron Oglesby just went. They're sort of in stealth mode. They claim to solve this problem. We'll see. Atlantis has made improvements to their product since we wrote about them initially almost a year ago. RingCube is getting better. The application virtualization vendors are getting better. The user personality vendors are adding more capabilities to their stuff. So there's a lot of companies who are sort of, trying to tackle this technical problem. But I do wonder if this is actually a problem that can be solved, or is this whole sharing a single image for real users just a pipe dream? And again, like I said yesterday, I want to be very clear is that, sharing a single image obviously works on terminal server. It works for the more basic VDI environments. I'm talking about for the real hardcore, knowledge workers. Will we ever get to the point where we can share one image or where we can build on demand from all these little modular components one single image? That I don't know, and that will be the topic of conversation on BrianMadden.com today. Actually, that's going to be the topic of conversation on Brian Madden for the next several days. This week in the U.S. is the Thanksgiving holiday, so today's article is actually our last article until next Monday, November 30th. So if you are in the U.S., please have a happy Thanksgiving. If you're not in the U.S., enjoy working. And we will revisit this issue when we all come back together on Monday, November 30th. Thank you so much.